Amen. Beautiful. Thank you very much. All right. Well, we are here in our second week of this series that we are called Getting Down to Busyness. Now, most of our lives we spend it getting down to business, but we're going to be talking about what it looks like to address the busyness that can fill our lives and what we're going to do about it. So we've been talking about it last week, and one of the truths that we set up last week is that we've embraced the work ethic of the fall, and I don't mean the fall time of year like harvest season. I mean the fall going back to Genesis, right? Removal from the Garden of Eden and the curse that we're going to have to work the land and toil and sweat, and then it's going to fight against us, and then we're going to have to fight the animals that are going to be after us. And we have embraced that work ethic, but we have forgotten the sacred rhythms of creation that God has given us. And this is one where I want to offer a caveat up front, because sometimes I don't want it to come across that I'm preaching like I got it figured out, because this one is one I am hugely guilty of, okay? And so when we begin talking about what it looks like to have a Sabbath, when we begin talking about what it looks like to embrace the sacred rhythms of creation, this is something that is at home, and so I appreciate y'all being here as I talk to myself for the next little while. So like just yesterday, I'm going to just indulge me for just a second. We get up early. Nikki and Grace had to be at a cross-country meet at 7 o'clock in the Hermitage, at Hermitage, in Donaldson area, you know what I'm talking about. So they were out of the house at, 5-something to get there by 6 o'clock so that they could then set up and be ready for the thing. And so I've got the other three, and so we've got two soccer games. And so I get up, and I get them ready, and I get them on down to the breakfast table, and they're eating their cereal and yogurt, and, you know, they're fighting, like, an appropriate amount. And so I leave them alone, and I go starting to get ready, and I come back out from getting ready, and they're nowhere to be found. They're not dressed. One of them has spilled an entire bowl of cereal on the floor and then just left it. Just left it. And I'm going to confess my sin. I lost my ever-loving mind, right? This is how we start the day. This is what you're going to do to me. Mommy's gone. We don't even have Grace to help. It's just me and you banshees, and we're going to figure out what this looks like, right? You are going to do what I say, or you're going to do nothing. And we have this whole conversation. Well, they listened, and I spoke. And so, but then we get ready, and we finally got to run. We got to do this. Shoes are knotted and tied. They can't get them on. They got the little shin guards on the wrong legs, but who cares at that point? We just send them off, right? Oh, it hurts your leg. I really am sorry about that. You should have put it on right. Have a great day. Learn your lesson really well. And so then we go, and we rush, and we get there in time. But then it turns out that my son, who has been to one practice, I haven't been to a practice with him. Nikki took him that one time. So I have no idea what anybody on his team looks like, right? He has no idea what anybody on his team looks like. So we wander around the 487 fields that are out there at Heritage that it took us 47 minutes to get to. And we look around, and we finally find the one. Well, the coach isn't there that day either, so none of the parents know what's going on. I was supposed to bring snack for all the kids. I forgot it. Just straight forgot the snack. So by the time the game gets over, the parents are all mad, and they're like, where's the snack? Where's the snack? And I was like, boys, go get in the car. We're leaving. I don't know where the snack is. I texted Nikki. I was like, I forgot the snack. I'm not going to tell them. Feel free to apologize, right? And so we go on about it. I was like, you don't need a snack. That's bougie. They got water fountains. Grow up. Grow up. You don't need orange slices. Okay, so here we go. Then we're back in the car. Now, we're sitting in the car for 30 minutes because my other boy has another game 30 minutes after that. But then the coach texts to say that the game is actually at 11:30, not 11. They put it in the schedule wrong. So then we go wait in the drive-thru at Zaxby's. Right, so we get there early, and all the workers come in, and they look at us like we're crazy. I go ahead and order online, so it's ready. They tell me that since I ordered online, they can't help me in the drive-thru. I have to go park, and I have to get out of my car and come in and pick it up. And I was like, that dude right behind you has my food in a sack. I can see it. I watched him put it in there. I didn't actually say this to her, but I went and parked, and I went and got my food. We rush back. We get there. We get everything set up. Beckett runs out onto the field. They started the game like 10 minutes early because they knew the rain was coming, and if they start the game, they get paid, so they started the game early. So then we run out there. We look like we're late, so then I look like a bad dad again. Thank you for indulging me again. There's only like a couple more minutes left. And then we get out there, and we're all set up. I got this. I got Scotty. She's got her little thing open. I open up little Zach's also. She's got it. I was like, please don't spit on the chair, and if you do, clean it up. You know. And then I go over to Zeke, and I got his stuff all set up. And then we sit down, and I'm starting to eat mine, and it's in my lap. And then it starts to rain, so I pull out the umbrella. I brought an umbrella. So I pull out the umbrella, and they come stand on me. You know what I mean? They don't stand like under the umbrella. They stand on me. They spilled their Zach sauce on me. It makes me furious. I don't know why, but it does. I don't. Then I just smell like anchovies the rest of the day. You know those are in it, right? That's what's in the Zach sauce. It makes it so good. So anyway, So then they spill that stuff on us, and then we're standing there, and then it just starts to pour, and then there's a flash of lightning. So then they come over the loud horn. It sounds like those, like, an air raid horn, you know, and we all have to leave. So then we go scrambling out, and I'm walking, and the wind's blowing at, like, a 45-degree angle, the rain. And I'm like, get behind me, kids, and I'm holding the umbrella like I'm going into battle, you know? I look like straight out of Saving Private Ryan or Hogwarts or something. And so I'm going in, and I was like, walk behind me, and you won't get as wet. Well, they interpreted walk behind me as walk in front of me. So then they walk in front of me, and I step all over them. I just trample them. We all fall to the ground. We crush the food. It spills out into the wet grass. We're all soaking wet, you know, and I just get up and look at them, and we scoop up our stuff, and we keep going. And so then we go wait in the car, and we eat, and then we come back to the next game. We get out there to start the next game, and the guy comes over and says, I know it's clear, but per our policies, you have to stand outside the gate for another 10 minutes, and then you can come back. So then we pack it up again. We take it back out there. We stand there for 10 minutes. We're standing in a little road. Then another guy decides he's got to come on the field with a golf cart, so then we all have to move out of his road so we can go over here. We play the game. We get back. It turns out the area I really enjoy parking in is a no-parking zone, and there were officers there who were, you know, reminding us that it was a no-parking zone. And they didn't give me a ticket, luckily, but I learned my lesson, and I told them that, so I'm going to go back and take down that no parking sign so I can park there. It's a good spot. It should be a parking area. That's all we need to know. So then we have our game. We get home, and then it's like 2 o'clock, right? We still have a whole day of things left to do. Saturday is my Sabbath. It was not. It wasn't anything that there's not a single thing that happened that day, except for my wife came home and she was tired because she got up at 5. She came into the bedroom. We locked the door. We laid down and took a nap, and I don't know what they did. Right? I don't need to know. I'm not going to check. I'm not even going to ask. Right? Just said, have your rooms clean or you're making dinner. Right? They made dinner. So, you know, you got to grow up sometime. But this is our Sabbath. You know, and so I really do believe in Sabbath, that it's something that God has asked us to do, that something since the beginning of time is something that God did. I mean, if God needs to take a rest, I mean, I don't really understand it. I got to be honest with you. I don't understand why God needs to rest. If God can snap his fingers and everything just happens, why does God need a rest? But apparently even God needs a rest or wanted a rest or took a rest or whatever it may be, right? So there's this rest, and then when God rested, God made it holy. And then we were told that we needed to do it. So we see it since the beginning in the creation story that God worked 6 days, and then there was the seventh day of rest, and it was made holy. And then we're told that in the Ten Commandments, in the fourth one, that we are supposed to keep it holy. But we constantly make our life, I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but me just talking about my day, and I know that's part of how I just talk anyway when I'm up here, but we make our lives just one run-on sentence, right? That's how it can feel. It can just feel like we go from one thing to the next and the next and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da into infinity and beyond. And then we turn around and we're like, I don't know why I'm not in good health. I don't know why I wasn't able to save any money. I don't know why I don't have a good relationship with family or whatever it is, right? It affects all areas of our life. It really does. We tend to get kind of laser focused, and we think it only affects a few things that we may not have time for, but not having time and pushing ourselves to the limits and leaving no room for anybody or anything else and stressing ourselves out to the point where we just forget about everything else except getting through the day doesn't allow us to pay attention to all the areas of our lives, physical health, mental, emotional health, finances, relationships, whatever it is, except for whatever those tasks were that we got done. And sometimes, if we're honest, all of those tasks we got done don't matter at all. And the one thing or the two things or the three things we didn't do, man, those really mattered. But I didn't have time to make that call. I didn't have time to make someone feel cared for. I didn't have time to invest in my future, whether that's financially, whether that's with my personal health, no matter what that might be. We've pushed ourselves to those limits. And you see, for many reasons, and I truly believe this, even though it is so hard, Sabbath is the cure for this disease we call busyness. You see, we've mentioned it before, but busyness is really a social currency. We want to be thought of as busy because then we're important. If I said to you, go talk to so-and-so, they're not busy at all, man, that's an insult. Those are fighting words. We've decided that being pushed to our limits, that being maxed out, that being as busy as we can be is a sign of a good life, is a sign of importance, is a sign of success. I finally made it. And the truth is, it's not. Maybe it is for those people who are also pushing themselves to that limit. But for God and for God's people and for the rest of the folks who are experiencing a healthy and thriving life in all of its facets, busyness becomes a disease. And I think that our Sabbath can help. We look at Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. 6 days you may work and do all of your tasks, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work on it, not you, your sons or daughters, your male or female servants, your animals, or the immigrant who is living among you, because the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them in 6 days, but rested on the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, depending on your interpretation, I think I do okay with the first half of verse 8. Can we throw verse 8 up on the screen? Remember the Sabbath day. I remember that I didn't have it. I remember that I really don't think it's possible. I remember that I can name 100 things that are reasons why I can't do it. I'm so busy. I've got all this stuff going on. I've got all these demands on my life or my time, whatever it is. I remember this thing called Sabbath, but not in the way that I truly believe this verse is calling us to remember it. It's calling us to participate in, to have it on our calendar, to be ready for, and to be a part of. And then we're told to treat it as holy. I want you to think about the way you treat things that you think of as holy. You treat them with care. You have a special place set aside for them. You hand them down from generation to generation, and you tell the story about why they're important. You get mad and won't let people mess with it if it's holy. You even stop yourself from messing with it and taking it for granted if it's holy. Remember the Sabbath and treat it as holy. Now, a lot of times when we talk about Sabbath, I get some pushback about, Pastor, that just sounds like hippie stuff. I've got to work, right? I've got a job to do. I'm super important. There are people that rely on me and reply to me, yes. I've got things to do. I've got a busy life. I've got kids that have got to get here, but even though I don't have kids, I've got a lot to get done during the week. And on the weekends, I got to do all the things I put off during the week. And even though I'm retired, I'm still busier than I've ever been before. And I've got these things. I'm not going to actually sit down and be able to have this Sabbath where I just sit around and sing Kumbaya and light candles and play with crystals or whatever it is that you think we ought to be doing. What does Sabbath look like? What does it mean to you? But I want you to catch verse 9, because you see, this call to Sabbath is a call to get her done. It's a call to do your work in 6 days. Verse 9 says, 6 days you may work and do all your tasks. Now, I want to be clear about a couple of things. First off, I think we especially, I know growing up as a Southern young male, we were taught work ethic pretty much like it was an idol, right? Like one of the most important things somebody could have said about you was that you had good work ethic and you worked hard, right? So I'm not telling you that you got to go work all day, every day, 6 days a week, right? I think it's okay that you have a weekend and maybe your work takes 3 days, 5 days. I don't know what it is. But I am going to caution us that we might have made it an idol, that we might have set up the God of prosperity and economy ahead of the God of creation and everything else, right? So I want us to think about when we begin to talk about what it means to work 6 days a week, whether we've made that a godlike creature and violated some of the first few laws we're given in Exodus, if you read back before verse 8, and whether that's part of the reason why we can't participate and Sabbath. But it says 6 days you may work and do all of your tasks. Let me give you an example. I don't know about you, this may be true for you, but I am never more organized and productive than the week before vacation. Does that happen for you? You know what I mean? And why is that? Why is that? I don't want to worry about it while I'm on vacation. Yeah. Do what? I want to come home to a clean house. You've been talking to Nikki. Yeah. Anybody else? Why are we more organized most of the time? Maybe not everybody's that way. But before you go on vacation, there's a deadline. Yeah. I resonate with all of these. You see, when we're getting ready to go on vacation, you got to get everything done. You got to get everybody everything they need from you so they don't contact you while you're gone. Or they're not left in the lurch while you're gone and you didn't not do the things you were supposed to do, because then you might come back and find out you don't have a job to come back to, right? You said you were going to get us the TPS reports. We didn't get the TPS reports. We got to go on about this, right? We get ready for Sabbath. Perhaps in the same way we get ready for vacation. 6 days. We do the work that has to get done. We don't hold those things for after Sabbath, or else we don't really get to Sabbath. We get those things done in 6 days before we get to the seventh. Verse 10 continues, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work on it. Now, the whole rest of Leviticus kind of gets at, what do you mean by don't do any work, right? We were talking about in Sunday school class, what are the things that get in the way of our Sabbath? What might we be afraid of? And then we really got into a conversation about what is and isn't Sabbath. What can I or can't I do? So sometimes we look back at the people in the Old Testament. We think, oh, you can't take more than 40 steps. You can't get your ox out of the ditch. You can't make the bread that you got to eat. What do you do? What are all these rules? That's ludicrous. But then we begin to do the same exact thing. We begin to name all the reasons we can't do it. And then we begin to talk about and fret over all of the things we can or can't do. Your male servants, it says, don't do any work on it. Not you, your sons or daughters, your male or female servants, your animals, or the immigrant who is living with you. You see, with Sabbath, we have a responsibility not just for ourselves, but for others. And that seems strange. We really like personal responsibility, right? Not so much responsibility for other people. I'm not in charge of them. I don't make decisions for them. But God's saying, for the people that you are responsible for and to, a Sabbath is necessary for them. A time where they can rest, where they can lay fallow, where they can rejuvenate, where they can commune with God and with each other and with creation. That we are responsible for that as well. You know, I always want a spicy chicken biscuit on Sunday. Every morning I think about it when I'm driving in. I thought, you know, we're a church. I'd give them a key to the church. They could just give me a key, right? They can make an extra sandwich and set it out. You know, I could go in and get it off the counter. That'd be fine. You know, Chick-fil-A believes that they make just as much money, if not more, 6 days a week than seven. I shared with some of others of you a couple of weeks ago about it in Sunday school, but in Athens, Georgia, when I was in school, they were bringing up a referendum to sell liquor on Sundays. And it was the local liquor stores who banned against it because they had a day off. They had a day where they didn't have to compete. They had a day where they didn't have to staff and fight and scratch for their profits. If you wanted to drink beer and watch the Titans, you better think about that on Saturday. And we were like, no, we don't want to plan ahead. We want to be able to just wander in. We don't need to do our work in 6 days. We want to be able to do it on that seventh, when it's immediate and now, and I want it and I can impulse it, right? And it was the big grocery stores that got it passed, because the big company, corporation, it didn't matter to them 7 days a week and what it did to the others. Their argument was they made more or at least enough, and 6 days is seven. Why would God need to rest, but we think we don't? If I asked you, do you need rest, you would say, gosh, yes, I need rest, but I don't ever get it. It's the same reason perhaps we don't exercise or eat right or whatever it is. But you see, God isn't a workaholic. God chooses rest over more. Do you catch that? And God created us to be those kinds of people who choose rest and relationship and being with each other and with God and with creation over having more. God could have created more. God could have just randomly said, you know what, there's 10 days in a week. I'm going to work 9 of them and then take this other one off, right? We could have just kept adding days to infinity. I want you to think about this. What did God do on the Sabbath? It says rest. But I want you to think about the stories we see in Scripture. He walked and talked with his people. He walked around in his creation. He enjoyed the fruits of his labor. God had seen it and said that it was good and created humanity and said it was very good. And then God took a rest. And what did God do? God enjoyed what God had made. And then we started. And what did we want? We wanted more. We wanted to eat from that tree. We wanted to have our cake and eat it too. You want more, don't you? You don't have to. That's hypothetical. Don't raise your hand. More time, more health. Those are great things. Why wouldn't we want those? More finances. More, more, more. But you see, life is not endless productivity. That leads to anxiety, ambitions that put ourselves and our desires in front of who God is. And I'm going to go back and be clear again. This is not an indictment of doing what we should be doing, of working hard and having what it takes and planning and saving and doing what we're supposed to do. You just do it in 6 days. And you have one set aside for what it looks like to just be human, to be God's, to be with your family or your friends or be with creation, whatever it is. We're not going to put parameters on what that looks like except to say that if we are Bible-believing people of God that all of our Facebook posts say we are, then why are we too busy to Sabbath? Why are there too many things standing in the way? Why have we chosen this thing to throw out? Have we created things in our lives that maybe we need to scale back so that we could have Sabbath? Have we created ways of being and doings, personas of ourselves that have to be maintained in the minds of other people that get in the way of what it looks like to be a child of God? You see, verse 11 tells us this wonderful thing. It says, because the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything that is in them. And I kind of get this picture from that. It's like, yeah, you made some stuff and you're busy. God made it all. Get over yourself. Right? Like, I got to go make, I was supposed to make 700 widgets this week. I only made 650. I've got to go in on Saturday and Sunday so that I can make those extra 50 widgets. And God's like, I made the earth. I made heaven. I made everything that's in it. The waters, the land, the sky, the stars, all of it. And I can still rest. And I made them in 6 days, but I rested on the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. You see, Sabbath is a bridge to the holy. Imagine a rhythm where on a weekly basis, you have time set apart for God. We make each other feel guilty about not getting up and praying for an hour every morning, right? But what if built into your schedule, you were never more than a few days from Sabbath, holy, rest, rejuvenation, and relationship? No matter what came on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I don't know what day your Sabbath would be. It doesn't have to be Sunday. You would never be more than a few days away from the holy. Exodus 31:17 says this, "It is a sign forever between me and the Israelites that in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day the Lord rested and was refreshed." Did we just read that God was tired? That God needed to be rejuvenated? That God was refreshed by rest? Do you need to feel refreshed? I do. I should just quit soccer, I can tell you that. I would have yesterday if they'd asked, but nobody asked. Imagine what could be when life didn't feel like completely insurmountable chaos. And we blame it on other stuff. I just blamed soccer, right? We blame it on work, relationships, care for others. Whatever it may be, it's always somebody else's fault. It's probably the Republicans. It's probably the Democrats. It's because businesses used to be closed on Sunday. If they would just close Walmart, I could have a Sabbath. That sounds like a you problem, I gotta be honest. Because Wally World's not gonna change 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Imagine peace in the midst of chaos. Imagine a little sanctuary, a little sanctum. Every week, a little enclave where you get to rest and rejuvenate and be and enjoy each other and start the week ready to go. But you didn't have to worry about the week because you got ready for it before you even started Sabbath. The world's not going to stop. It's going to push you and it's going to leave you behind. Those are facts. You cannot get ahead of it. You will not beat it. You cannot conquer it. You are not more powerful than it. You will not win this. The world's going to win it. Why don't we have some Sabbath instead? The days and the months and the years don't stop. But the weeks can. Do you catch that? We can have a day to commune with God, to commune with each other, to commune with all of us. No matter what, we would never be more than 6 days away from holy perspective and rest and rejuvenation. And my soul knows I need it. Even though my mind constantly tells me there's no way to do it, or else my kids won't get ahead. We won't have enough financially. Our house will be out of order, and I don't know who judges us on that, but apparently somebody does. It's time to rest. Let us pray. Lord, you are almighty. You created everything, and you rested. You took a day to be with us, to enjoy the fruits of your labor. And maybe we're still in that day. I don't know. Lord, lead us to holy rest. Move us from anxiety and chaos to peace and rejuvenation, from frantic tasks to healthy wholeness and relationships. Give us wisdom and discernment, and above all, give us courage to make the changes that would be necessary to be the people you have called us to be. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to stand.